chapter 13 of Hosea. We are about to finish this book. And next book is Colossians. All right. Can you turn me down just a tad, please? I don't know about you. I like to travel. Karen and I like to travel. A lot of times we just have a wishful thinking. We don't get to go anywhere, but we still like to travel. And whether it's something she travel alone or I travel alone or we travel together, but after the nice trip, we still like to come back to our own home. It's our own home, our own bed, our own pillow, our own kitchen. You list, name it. Because it's familiar setting, it's a comfort zone. See, the way I look at it is, and then before I go there, some of you guys know that I was out of country several times last year and this year for a mission trip as well as the other kinds. Even though I don't speak good English, I know how to tell the difference between British, you know, the weird English from the British people and the American people's English. As soon as I hear the American accent, I say, yeah, it's with me. We are together. Because that's the familiarity. That's the setting I enjoy. Even if they're from Texas. I know it's a foreign language, but still, it's Texas. It's an American thing. The reason why we like to stay in the familiar settings, we like to stay in the comfort zone, is because it comforts us and it makes us feel like we are at home. Those who walked away from God and those who taste the goodness of God and they walk away, when they see the goodness and mercy of God and they come back, there's a real homecoming. Now, we are going to study this last two chapters of Hosea. All throughout from chapter 4 especially, it's nothing but you don't do this, you don't do this. By the way, you do this because idolatry or so on. So it's nothing but a no, 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 bad, bad, bad thing. Seems like we think that there's no hope for these people. Really, we'll find out. But God wants us to come back to Him whenever we sin against Him. And come, make a short account and come back to Him, ask for His forgiveness. Tonight, we will see that how the God restored this Ephraim, the Israel, and the runaway bride of God. We'll start from verse 1 of chapter 13 in Hosea. We'll pray. Heavenly Father, let us keep this in mind. Your arms always open to us. Whenever we sin against you, we run back to you and ask for your forgiveness. By the blood of Jesus, we are cleansed. And you said, come now, let us reason together. Though your sin is as red as scarlet, but I will make it as white as snow. So we come to you and asking for your forgiveness for our sin throughout the day that we committed against you. And make us whole. And remind us to keep a short account with you. Never to depart again from you. Always get to know your heart and do your will. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1, chapter 13. When Ephraim spoke trembling, he exalted himself in Israel. But when he offended through the Baal worship, underline Baal worship, please, we'll visit that thing again. He died. Now their sin, they sinned more and more, and they have made themselves for themselves a molded image, idol of their silver, according to their skill. All of it is the work of craftsmen. They said of him, let the man who sacrificed kiss the calves. Therefore they shall be like a morning cloud and like a early dew that passes by. Like a chaff blown off from the threshing floor and like a smoke from the chimney. Tribe Ephraim among the Israel troop, Israeli nation in the northern kingdom, taking a prominent position, as we saw in the map before, it takes quite a big location. big chunk of the northern kingdom. And it's become the fearful to the other tribes. However, when it comes to idol worship, again, it takes a flagship position. It's the leader. God never blessed Israel or any other country when they go into the idol worship. But they never stopped anyone from doing idol worship. They continue to do the idol worship. Why? Because we will explain the difference between Baal worship and God worship, worshiping God. I should underline the man who sacrifice, there's nothing, sacrifice what? Kisses the calves. Start with this. This is common knowledge among this Baal worship and Dagon worship and Molech worship. There was a human sacrifice involved. Whenever there is a human sacrifice involved, guess what kinds of human get sacrificed? Children. There's some portion in the Bible in the 2 Kings and the 1 and 2 Chronicles, and you will find that some parents bring forth the child just to sacrifice. It's a sick world, isn't it? Our world is not much different. You know, you may say, we don't sacrifice children. Yes, we do. How about 2 million a year? Under the name of pleasure, people have sex, whatever the reason is, and then they will want their responsibility, so they're trying to get rid of that responsibility by using the method of abortion. Abortion is a murder. There's no other way around. As I said before, if you had abortion before and you ask God's forgiveness, it's been gone. So don't go after yourself. But let's not say it's a pro-abortion. It's the same thing as a pro-murder. Okay? Let's make that clear. Pro-abortion says pro-murder. So we do the same kinds of human sacrifice. Idolatry is a total perversion of value. Let me put it this way. They fasted and formed this particular mold, whether it's clay or stone or metal, and then they bow down to that form, a piece of metal, stone, clay, whatever, and the wood, and they worship. They're expecting that thing that cannot hear, cannot do anything, to do something for them. What kind of stupidity is that? We may say, again, we don't do the idolatry. We'll see. There are many people in our life, in our days, still have a concept. You kiss a certain image, or kiss the statue, or kiss the people. Then they're thinking that somehow is gaining favor with God. Folks, nothing will do. Only way we can gain a favor with God is following God. Being a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, and that is a good will, and that is what God wants. So let's continue in verse 4. Yet I am the Lord your God ever since the land of Egypt, and you shall know no God but me. For there is no Savior beside me. I know you in the wilderness and the land of a great drought. When they had a pasture, they were filled. They were filled, and their heart was exalted. Therefore, they forgot me. So I will be to them like a lion, like a leopard by the road I will lug. And I will meet them like a bear, deprived of her cubs. I will tear open their rib cages, and there I will devour them like a lion. Wild beasts shall tear them. Even though we do it time to time, it is a strange aspect from the point of view of God. When we do well, financially or spiritually or physically, when we do well, we tend to seek God less. Isn't that true? We don't seek God that well. But when we're in the tight corner, guess what we do? We seek God day and night. Isn't it true that you heard somebody saying there's no atheist in the foxhole? When the bullet flies, guess what? Nobody say there's no God. The first thing they say is, oh my God, oh God, help me. From that, and they start to come up with their own religion. But they think that they all gods lead to the same direction. No, they don't. At the end of the 20th century and the first beginning of the 21st century, the people's donation to the church, churchgoers, their offering and the tithe was the smallest since the Great Depression in the 1940s. About as small as the time Great Depression. You know why? There's the unprecedented prosperity during the 1990s and all the way to the 2005 current time. Unprecedented prosperity in America. People are not seeking God. Only time they sought after God is in 1990 during the Desert Storm and during the brief time of when the Iraq War happened and the brief time of 9/11. If you disagree with me, tell me when they sought after God. None. When we neglect God as He blesses us, we often face the chastising hands of God. Is it because God hates us? No, God loves us. That's why, because we are His children, He chastises us to try to mold us into the image of Jesus Christ. So I asked you on the line of Baal worship. What is the Baal? Baal was the most important deity in the Canaanite pantheon religion. And this is one of the gods in the polytheistic society. Baal worshippers believe that this Baal is the king of all the gods in their pantheon religion. And they continue to sacrifice humans for the guarantee of the blessing from this Baal worship, Baal god. Baal god has several duty or whatever you want to call it. I guess a duty or the field area. He is specialized in fertility and he is specialized in nature, especially stone. He is specialized in fertility so that one of the worship is a ritual prostitution. While they're having sex in front of this altar or the so-called Baal idol, that is their idea of worship. And because they believe that this God is controlling the rain and drought and the storm, they literally depends on Him for everything, especially the food. How can we explain that Baal worship was so popular in the midst of the Israeli people who saw the hands of God, saw the miracles of God, and they even heard it, not only heard about it, and they all experienced it? Why do they have to run to this Baal worship instead of one true God, Jehovah God? You know the difference? Baal worship demands sensuality. Jehovah God demands high moral, high ethical things. That goes against our nature. So it's normal for people in Israel to run to the sensuality instead of being holy and righteous in God's sight. Folks, in America, if you say you are Muslim and you want to declare your religion, nobody say boo. If you say you're Jehovah's Witness, they don't even say boo about that either. Mormons, they don't care. If you're Buddhism, hey, Richard Gere will come around and help you. You know, movie star Richard Gere. And then if you're New Age people, there is a bunch of people will come around and help you. Christian scientists, hey, Tom Cruise, John Travolta, you name it, all these movie stars will come around and help you. Soon as you said Jesus Christ, all of a sudden you are isolated, you become bigot. Then our slogan, knowing Jesus and making Him known. Actually, I stole it from the Greg Laurie, Harvest Crusade. Their slogan is knowing God and making Him known. Nowadays, God talk is very cheap. Everybody calls God. But as soon as somebody said, Jesus, you draw the line. So if we're going to declare the gospel, might as well say, Jesus, about Jesus Christ. Let's preach to Jesus. Let's declare Jesus to other people. That means we're going to be isolated. That means we're going to be called as a bigot, considered as a metal from God. That's what's happening in America. And now, even it's happening in America church, Christian church. They like to reduce, they like to dilute the truth of Jesus Christ and gospel. They say, do you have to have that high standard? Can we lower the standard a little bit? It's sickening, isn't it? There is no such a thing as lowering the standard. Verse 9. O Israel, you are destroyed, but your help is from me. I will be your king, and where is any other, that you he may save you in all your cities, and your judges to whom you said, give me a king and a prince. I give you a king in my anger and took him away in my wrath. We often blame God for when the things go wrong. Isn't that true? It's okay. And when you fill out the information in the insurance form, disaster, earthquake, all of this, and it is what? Act of God. What's that got to do with the act of God? Who screwed up the creation at the beginning? Us, human. If we didn't screw up at the beginning, we didn't foul up, Adam and Eve didn't foul up from the beginning, there wouldn't be a four season. There wouldn't be a wind. Do you know that? It will be even time all the time. But because they fouled up the things, and because after that, and people grew, become so volatile and wicked, and God said, enough is enough, and he brought the Noah's flood. After that, there's a fourth season, there's a hot and cold. Until then, we have the even time. Anyway, we can ask God to help us if we walk with God. Verse 12. The iniquity of Ephraim is bound up and his sin is stored up. Verse 13. Sorrows of the woman in childbirth shall come upon him. He is an unwise son, for he should not stay long where children are born. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. Underline next phrase, please. O death, I will be your plague. O grave, I will be your destruction. Pity is hidden from my eyes. Verse 15. Though he is fruitful among his brethren, that the east wind shall come, and the wind of the Lord shall come up from the wilderness. Then his spring shall become dry. His fountain shall be dried up. He shall plunder the treasury of every desirable prize. Samaria is held guilty, for she has rebelled against her God. They shall fall by the sword. Their infant shall be dashed into pieces, and their woman with the child ripped open. When Israel asked for a king, remember the First Samuel study? They asked for the king. And God said, you don't want a king. But they said, no, we want a king. So, okay, you have a king. He's a guy who is a head and shoulder taller than anyone. He's a good looking from head to his toe. But that's about it. Good looking with the no brain inside. That was Saul. In anger, God allowed him to have. In wrath, God took their kings away. Hoshesh, I believe his name, H-O-S-H-E-A, Hoshea, I guess. That's the last king of Israel. Zedekiah, Z-A-D-E-K-I-A, Zedekiah is the last king of Judah. And they all end up in the Syria occupation. In wrath, God took their kings away. They should not have a king from the beginning. They should depend on God. Apostle Paul was quoting the verse I asked you to underline, or death, or grave. Remember that portion in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's go there. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55. First Corinthians 15:55. Chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians is known for the resurrection chapter. By the way, this is not quoted by the Shakespeare. Actually, Shakespeare stole it from the Bible. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, Hades, where is your victory? The base of that verse is coming from the Hosea chapter 13. Let's continue in chapter 14 of verse 1 in Hosea. O Israel, return to the Lord your God, for you have stumbled because of your iniquity. On the line, next phrase, please take word with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, take away all iniquity, receive us graciously, for we will offer sacrifice of our lives. Assyria shall not save us, we will not ride on the horses, nor will we say any more to the works of our hand, you are our God. For in you the fatherless find mercy. In my opinion, there is no other chapter in the Bible has expressed more about the mercy of God more than this particular chapter 14 of Hosea. It just leaked with the goodness of God. Even though they Israeli people were idolaters and horrible in their wicked sins, when they repent, God take them back. And some people said, some might thought that, you know, there is no hope for these Israeli people. And there's not one good king who led a nation to the path of righteousness. But there's no such thing as no hope in people when God is with them. His mercy and grace brought them back to himself. When I was a kid, I was growing up in South Korea. We had an environment of the totem. Do you know what the totem is? Totem. They worshiping this funny things. They carved the image on the tree trunk, and they think that there's a god, and so nature god. And Buddhism, ancestor worship. Yes, I was an idol worshiper. I bowed down to the Buddha before, without knowledge, without knowing the truth. I did all of that. That was the culture, that was the environment that people lived in. Now, five biggest Christian church in the world is residing in one city, in Seoul, Korea. One church has 1 million members. And when they have a prayer gathering in the morning, like at 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock in the morning, average 5,000 people get together. I thought, well, try that in America. They are turning to God. See, people worshipped finding idols is so appealing to them because they are ignorant. Remember chapter 6 of Hosea. My people perish because of what? Lack of knowledge. Very good. Folks, if we don't study this book, we too will perish. That's why we emphasize so much about studying the Bible in this church. I don't care if the people get all hyped up with the so-called Holy Spirit. We do follow the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit wrote this book. So, what is more important, our feeling or this book? The book. If we go by our feeling, we will fall flat on our face. But if we go by what it says in the Word, we won't fall. See, the people who worshiped idols, as I said before, they have a perverted value when it comes to idol worship. in returning of the Lord, Israel must come on to God with God's term. What do I mean? As on the line, take word with you and return to the Lord. According to God's term, not our term. Let me make it example. September 2nd, 1945. Any of you guys remember what that was? September 2nd, 1945. And some of you say, I was not born that time. Me neither. But I learned this from the world history during the time when I was in junior high school in Korea. That was the day Japanese Imperial Dynasty signed contract, complete surrender to the United States. Where? Anybody remember when where? USS Missouri. Under the supervision of General MacArthur, Douglas MacArthur. The term the Japanese had to sign is a complete surrender. That means they cannot have a weapon for anyone to any people in Japan. And there's no resistance, there's no military. Until now, Japanese do not have a quote-unquote army or air force. They have a fighter jet and they have a battleship, but it's all under the name of police. They do not have actual military power because of their contract. Complete surrender. In turn, American military and under the leadership of General MacArthur, they helped to rebuild the whole country and institute a democratic government and chart a course that made Japan as one of the world's biggest and most powerful industrial nation. That's a complete healing. That's what God is doing to us. See, let me go back to the idol worship one more time. Israeli people worshipped Baal, also worshipped Molech, coming from another ice. I forgot my I think it's Ammonite. And another one they worship is, no, Ammonite is Dagon God. Remember 1 Samuel. And Israeli people were losing the battle. So they brought this Ark of God. Remember that portion? There's two priests. The sons of two priests and brought the Ark of God. It's like a lucky charm. And wow, Ark of God is in our camp, so we're going to win the battle. Did they win the battle? No, they lost their butt and they even lost that Ark of God. And they brought it into the Philistine people brought this Ark of God into their idol worship place, threshing floor, in front of Dagon God. And they placed the Ark of God. Oh, okay, he's our Dagon God, and he's the Ark of God from Israel. And we captured their God. Next morning when they got up and went to the threshing floor, guess what happened? Dagon God is flat on their face. And they were thinking, this doesn't look good. So they pulled up their God, put him in the place, and adjusted him a little bit, and probably brushed him off and went away. Following morning, went back to the threshing floor. This time the head is chopped up, arms chopped up, legs chopped up. And so they said, they got it. You're starting to get it. Yeah. Obviously, this God cannot protect himself. Jehovah God can do whatever he wants to do. He created the universe with a word. And this isn't, their God is nothing more than object. Folks, we tend to make that kind of object in our heart. God's healing is complete. God's healing will be applied to us when we come to him. When we return to the Lord, we must first come humbly. We must recognize our sins and the total dependence on the grace of God. When we come to him, When we return to Him, we must come as renouncing our dependency on all other things. We must recognize God alone can make a difference in our lives. True healing process only can start with what? Complete repentance and total surrender. And then God's forgiveness will follow. Let me repeat one more time. True healing process will only happen when we come to Him with a complete surrender and total repentance. Then, when we do that, God's forgiveness will come. Let's go to Psalm 32, please. Psalm 32, verse 1. Psalm 32:1. This is one of those verses that I'm going to ask you to memorize if you can. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sins is covered. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is covered. You know, Jack Lever used to joke about it. We forgive, but we don't forget. Isn't that true? When we forgive other people, we have an attitude that, okay, I will bury the hatch, but leave the handle out. So when I feel like it, I'm going to pull it out and whack you again. But God is different. Isaiah 43, a couple books behind, Isaiah 43. This is what God wants us to do. Continuously. Forgiving is a lot easier than forgetting. Whenever we remember that somebody did a wrong thing against us, especially husband and wives, ladies, you need to erase the hard drive. Ladies are really good at recollecting what the husband do wrong. But they don't remember when the husband do once in a while they do good. Okay, ladies, erase the hard drive, forget the hard drive, toss the hard drive out. You don't want God to remember all the bad things you've done, ladies, do you? And it's a technical term. Yeah. Let's read. Verse 45-43, chapter 43 of Isaiah, verse 25. God speaks. I am he who blots out your transgression for my own sake, and I will not remember your sin. Husband and wives, especially I'm speaking to you, husband and wives, don't bring back that whatever the other person did wrong continuously. If you do that, you are going to have a major fight. You are going to have split. That's the biggest problem I find whenever I do the counseling. He does this, and then wife, husband says, she doesn't do this. How about remembering the other side? She does wonderfully do this, she does wonderfully do this, he does this kind of thing so well. If I look for bad things about my wife, I can find few. If she look for bad things about me, she can find it so well that she need a scroll to write down all of that. But she choose to forget. She choose to forgive me. That's why we are going to celebrate the 25th wedding anniversary next year, right? All right, verse 4 of chapter 14. I will heal their backsliding. Underline that, please. I will love them freely, for my anger has turned away from him. I will be like a Jew to Israel. He shall grow like lily and lengthen his root like Lebanon. His branches shall spread. His beauty shall be like an olive tree and his fragrance like a Lebanon. Those who dwell under his shadow shall return it. They shall be revived like a grain and grow like a vine, and their scent shall be like the wine of Lebanon. Even though God said that Israel has bent on backsliding, but God chose to heal their backsliding. Backsliding is so subtle, folks. Actually, people don't even realize while they're going through backsliding. I heard a story. There's one particular tree, and with as many other trees, this one out of blue just went down, crashed. From the outside, it looked fine, just like any other tree. One went wrong, so they checked it. This particular tree is just rotted because the bug was eating up and everything inside. From the outside, it looks fine, just like any other tree. Erosion happened. We had quite a lot of rain. When the water comes down and brings the dirt, when it goes around the corner, when it hit the corner, the area the water hit, it starts to erode a little bit at a time. Pretty soon, their house out here, they had about 15-yard space between their front yard and a backyard and the bank. And then a few months down the road, all of a sudden, there's only 5 yard. What happened? Eroded. Before they even realized, during the night when the rain, it erodes. Backsliding is like that. People don't even realize they're being backslidden. They don't even realize how far they're gone away from the post. God says, don't pass this line. I'm going to ask you to pray for me. On this coming Sunday, I will have the privilege to speak to our brothers and sisters in Mexico, Nogales, Mexico. I ask God, what am I going to speak to these precious people who endure so much better than I can? To be honest with you, American Christians are such a wimp. Don't you agree? We cannot handle a little bit of a cold. We cannot handle a little bit of a heat. We all complain. And some people will walk many miles to get to the church for a few hours teaching. But in America, if they have to drive more than 10 minutes, that's too far. Anyway, so I asked the Lord, what can I teach to these people that they're already not living every day? He spoke to my heart, teach them about temptation. Within 15 minutes, the entire outline for the sermon came down. And I thought, well, I guess that's what I'm going to teach. Because that's not that common. I had a few other time, but pray for me. Because it's an awesome privilege that I'm going to have. Let's continue verse 8. Ephraim shall say, what do I do? What have I to do anymore with the idols? I have heard and observed him. I am like a green cypress tree, and your fruit is found in me. Who is wise? Let him understand these things. Who is prudent? Let him know them. For the ways of the Lord is right, and righteous walk in them, and the transgressors stumble in them. The last verse of verse 9 is a great verse to memorize. For the ways of the Lord is right, and righteous walk in them, and his transgressors stumble in them. When God's people healed from the backsliding, they focus on the Lord himself, not on any kinds of idol. Let's make applications. 2, I already said, but it's worth repeating. When we return to the Lord, we must first come humbly. I hope you don't have to use this application. This is one application I am asking you not to use it if you don't have to. But if you have to, here it is. We have to come to him humbly. We recognize our sin and total dependence on the grace of God. Second application. When we return to the Lord, we come renouncing our dependence on all the other things. Folks, don't depend on any other things other than God. It doesn't matter how much bank account or fat bank account you have or what kind of health you have. As I said on Sunday morning, you're literally one breath away from being dead. We must recognize that the Lord alone can make a difference in our lives. Let's stand up and pray. Heavenly